Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey there, family and friends. Hey, Coach Chad Parks here with Coach P's Perspective, where we discuss coaching, inspiration, and faith. Today, before we get started, I want to give a real quick shout out to the Lane Frost brand. The Lane Frost brand is family-owned, operated, inspirational, and they are all about character. This is my favorite apparel brand. I only wear Lane Frost brand hats. They have t-shirts, cologne, you name it. Again, this is family-owned and operated. This is right here, small-town America, and it's all representing the late, great, world champion bull rider Lane Frost, who was one of my icons, one of my heroes growing up in the state of Oklahoma. So make sure you check out the Lane Frost brand. You can go to lanefrost.com or jump on all the major social media outlets and take a look. They always post inspiration and they bring light to everything they do. Again, shout out to the Lane Frost brand. Today I want to share a message with you called Man in the Mirror. And real quick, before I really get into the message, there's a quote or a saying that my dad used to say, and I credit to him. I've never heard anyone else but my dad say this. So it goes like this. There's a four-letter word that you'll never see written on the wall in graffiti. Work. W-O-R-K. Work. Four-letter word, all right? So people, you go into a bathroom stall or you see sometimes written, curse words, right? A lot of those are four-letter words or what we call four-letter words. Written in graffiti. Work is usually not one of those. And, and I grew up in a family that believed in hard work. It's just what we did. So my dad was a teacher, a coach of multiple sports, had a painting business, a mowing business. And even today, he's retired from education, but the man still works like crazy. It's just, it's part of his personality, part of who he is, and it's how he raised us. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, which, if there are any stay-at-home moms out there or people who haven't been around that, my wife is a stay-at-home mom. It's a lot of work. And a few times when I've had to do the things that she does, I do not want to trade places with her. So shout out to all the stay-at-home moms. But, and when I say that, my wife was a teacher and coach for years. She still coaches, but man, all the things that she does here at the house is crazy. I'm not sure how she does it. My mom was the same way. Beyond just staying at home, though, taking care of us kids, she had a full dinner every night for us. I mean, my mom could cook, man. We're from the South, and my mom could cook. But a full dinner for us every single night. In addition to that, we had a lot of elderly people in the neighborhood. So my mom was always cooking food and taking food to the people in our neighborhood. She was going in, helping clean their houses, take care of them, just set and be a voice for them, set and be a listening ear for them, be a great friend. So there's a lot of things that she did. My family also, we cleaned. So in the evening times, a lot of times it was night. We had offices in town. We had banks, things like that we cleaned. My parents still clean a bank in town. So, hard work was just part of what we did. And I think it was ingrained into our psyche. It's ingrained into pretty much everything that we did. So for me, whenever I was probably, and of course I cleaned houses and stuff, when I was about, I think I was 9 when I got my first yard to mow. Wanted to go to an overnight wrestling camp. My dad said, you can, but you got to pay for it. Our neighbor across the street was the principal of the high school. I went over and I asked her if I could cut her grass. She said yes. And I said, well, would you be willing to pay me ahead of time for the whole summer? And then, I'll take that money and I'm going to go to a wrestling camp. And so she agreed. She paid me. And I tell you what, for a 9-year-old, that stuff, I still remember it. Not the mowing part, but taking your money, paying for a camp. And then the rest of the summer, you're mowing every week, but you're never actually getting paid. That was a great lesson to learn, and it was tough. Fast forward to my 6th grade year, I probably had close to 20 yards. My dad would take me, we'd go lift weights in the morning. I couldn't drive, of course, I was a kid, right? So I had a push mower back then. I don't think it was even self-propelled. A weed eater and a broom. I didn't have a blower. We didn't have blowers back then. So my dad would take me and drop me off on a block. And, I would hit 2, 3, 4 yards, whatever. Sometimes they were in a row. I would knock those out. He knew about how long it would take me. He would move on to a painting job. He'd paint. Come back, pick me up later, throw a thing in the back of the truck, take me to another area. Or if I was done for the day, I would jump in with him and I would go and paint. You know, we would often paint till dark. For me, going to baseball practice or freestyle and Greco wrestling practice in the summer, those were like my break times. Other kids, those were their workouts. For me, that was like my break time. And then, you know, when I was in high school, I had over 30 yards, 30, 35 yards, somewhere in there. Often hired one or two other athletes, or usually they were on my wrestling team, to work with me in the summer. So, you know, and again, we didn't have riding mowers or anything. We'd go and push mow all these yards. We'd get those done, move on to painting. You know, and I was a kid, right? So I still had a lot of fun when I was elementary, middle, high school. So I had a lot of fun, still had time to go hang out with my friends. But there was a lot of work involved. It was just part of who we were. And I really feel like that paid off for me as an athlete. I feel like it pays off for me now as a coach. Hopefully as a father and as a dad, those are areas where I'm definitely not perfect and none of us are ever going to reach perfection. But hopefully hold ourselves to high standards and we try to, right? So this message is called Man in the Mirror. And what I want to do is I want to give you five different key points. They're going to mean, and really these apply to sport, these apply to business, they apply to every area of life. And most everything that I teach and believe, I think that I try to make it principle-based so that it does apply in all these areas. So I hope that you can take these and you can apply these and find encouragement, but find actionable steps that you can use in your everyday life as well. And, you know, I started this off talking about hard work. I think that that's a real key to these things. But the very first principle is this, or the very first lesson: you can never get back time. So while I was growing up with my dad being a head coach, I was going to practices with him. I was in the locker room. I was in the coach's office and watching film. I was doing all those things. But one of the areas that people didn't see was what happens at home. And so I got to witness and observe so many times where a former athlete would just, you know, they'd be back in town, or, you know, maybe just thought about my dad, what, you know, whatever, and they would come over and visit us. They'd want to get, you know, they'd want to see Coach Parks, the original Coach Parks, the OG Coach Parks, my dad. So they would come over, they'd visit my dad, have a great talk, you know, and he was just awesome at building relationships and maintaining relationships with these athletes far beyond, you know, the graduating years. One common theme that often ran through was at some point during the conversation, the athletes would say, "Coach, I wish I would have listened to you. I wish I'd have been more dedicated. I wish I would have worked harder. I wish, I wish, I wish." They would eventually leave. And my dad would almost always turn and look at me and say, "Son, did you hear that? I don't want that to be you. I don't want you to have any regrets. Live every day to the fullest. And whenever you are putting in work for your sport or putting in work to be working, whatever it is, no, you cannot get back time. Once it's passed, it's passed. Okay, so whatever happened yesterday, that's gone. Like, we can reflect on it, but we can't get back that time." That tells us how valuable time is. So make sure that you're putting everything into every single workout, everything in every single practice. If you have a goal, if you have a desired outcome, something you want to do, give it your all. And if you don't, that's on you. And if you don't, you may look back and have regrets one day, just like these people that have come over and visited. So I don't want you to have those regrets. I never forgot that. And I can say, and I'm far from perfect, right? I mean, in any area, and there's much better athletes out there, much more successful athletes than me. But one thing I can say is, I believe I was one of the hardest workers in the room when I was in high school, when I was in college, and even tried to be that way as a coach. Because I understand the value of time. I understand the value of hard work. I understand the value of trying to set the example from somebody else and not wanting to look back with regrets. There were times maybe I overtrained because of that. And so you got to be really smart about your training. But man, I would rather, you know, finish with the empty gas tank and leave it out there than to hold something in reserve and know you could have done more. So the very first point here is, you know, this man in the mirror message: you can never get back time. Leave it all out there. Let's try to find some balance. I mean, I don't think anyone goes to their deathbed saying, "I wish I would have worked more and not spent more time with our family." But whatever we're doing, let's put our everything into it. So the time that we're at work, let's do that. And then when we come home, let's be all at home. That's hard for me. It's hard for me to make that separation sometimes. I think because I have worked so much and I kind of have that drive inside of me, there are times maybe I don't do as good of a job with my children and loving my spouse the way I should, because my mind is focused on work or doing other things. And there's a lot of work I do from home too. So we want to find the balance, but we also want to make sure that at the end of the day, there's no regrets when we leave it all out there in all those areas. And whenever we do get out of balance, that we review, we reflect, and try to make those adjustments. All right, so point number two, you can't lie to the man in the mirror. One of my assistant wrestling coaches, he's our head JV coach, Frank Crossan. He's a college football coach at Washburn University. You know, has been the head coach at the college and high school level, retired from education a few years ago, still coaches, and is my athletes call him the wisest man in the world, and he possesses a ton of wisdom. One time he was talking to our team and he said that. He said, you know, boys, at the end of the day, you know, when you go home at night, you could maybe get by here in practice and it looks like you're giving your all. You could get by in class, looks like you're giving your all. You could fake us out. You could fake your parents out, you know, whatever. But whenever you look at yourself in the mirror while you're brushing your teeth or before you go to bed, you can't lie to yourself. Only you know if you gave it 100% today. Only you know if you worked as hard as you possibly could today. So for us, I think that's a lesson. You can't lie to the man in the mirror. You have to live with yourself. If, let's say I'm an athlete and I have a goal to, maybe I'm a wrestler and I want to be a state champion or football player and I want to contribute and be the best running back so that our team can win a state title, those type of things. If I'm not putting in the work, I know it. You can't, there's no false confidence. You could act confident, but that doesn't result in becoming a better athlete or performing better. There's a real confidence gained from putting in the work. And it's one that no one sees. I mean, they might see, maybe you got some swagger or whatever. They see your performance, but they can't see inside of your head. There's a real deep-rooted and true confidence that comes from putting in the work and know that you've given it your all, knowing that you're probably giving it more than the average person. And it's not easy to do. If it was, everybody would do it. You know, so at the end of the day, we got to look ourselves in the mirror and know that we've given everything because we have these desired outcomes. We have these results that we want, whether it's being a great parent, whether it's being the CEO of a company, whether, you know, the other day, and I wish I would have got it on video because it was awesome. On Fridays, they come and pick up our trash, and we had our trash recycle out there. I heard the trash truck. I was outside, look over, and they were a little ways up the road. And literally, one of the sanitation workers, right, one of the guys, he jumps off the back of the garbage truck, and he sprints to the can. He sprints ahead to the can. There were two guys working. The other guy is grabbing a can up the road. This guy sprints to the next can. The truck drives down. He grabs it, puts it on the back. They emptied the trash. He rolls it back, and he sprints to the next one. This dude was sprinting all the way down the block. I mean, he was putting in work. I love it. It doesn't matter what you do. One of my best athletes, couple times state finalist, state champion, a great college football player. That's what he does for a living. And he puts in work. It just becomes part of who you are. So at the end of the day, no matter what your job was or what the outside, the viewpoint, right? So what anybody else thinks about the value of your job, doesn't matter. It's what you think about the value of your job and the kind of person that you want to be. And everything you do speaks to the kind of person that you want to be. So if you're putting in the work and you're doing everything it takes to be successful, that speaks to the kind of person that you want to be. If you're doing the opposite, you may not want to admit to yourself, but that also speaks to the kind of person you want to be. So you can't lie to the man in the mirror. All right, number three, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. And this is a great quote from Coach Vince Lombardi, one of the greatest coaches of all time. You know, and for me as a longtime coach and athlete, I saw this play out many times. You know, my dad used to say, I just talked about you can't fake confidence. My dad used to say you can't fake heart. And, you know, you see somebody out there, when they've put in the work, they don't quit. They don't give up when things get tough. If somebody hasn't, they're not fully invested. They're not in heart and soul. And it's easy for them to give up on something really, you know, just to walk away. I've had athletes quit over the years. I've had athletes not quit. And there's been different reasons. Sometimes it was a decent reason. Many times it wasn't, you know. And we have conversations about these things. People say, you know, once you quit something, it's easier to quit other things. That may be true in some sense. Maybe it's not. I do believe that once you begin something, you finish it out. It doesn't mean you got to do it again the next year. You got to re-sign up or rejoin, but try to finish it out. There are various circumstances. And when you become an adult, we don't want to waste time on things. And not that we quit when it gets easy, but sometimes something just isn't beneficial, so we find a different way, right? Or you find a different route or something that's more efficient. But overall in life, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. You're not going to give up when whenever you face adversity. Like right now we have this, you know, the COVID-19 thing going on. And some days it's good. Some days it's a mental battle. All right. But you're not going to give up on life. You're not going to give up on your family, your friends, not going to give up on society just because things get tough. There's got to be some deep-seated hope in the back of your mind and in the back of your heart that keeps you putting one foot in front of the other. You know, so if you are feeling that way, let those thoughts run on through your head, and then let's reinvigorate ourselves. Let's intentionally put in work to have a more positive attitude. And that's one of the things that you can do. I'm not talking like physical labor. I'm talking about grab some books that are going to build positivity into your life. The Energy Bus by John Gordon. Not even my favorite book that he wrote. I know it's his most popular, probably the most famous or whatever, but still a great one about positive. Basically, any book from John Gordon is going to help you build up intentionally that positivity. Find some YouTube videos of motivational speakers that are getting on there. Listen to podcasts like this. Be very intentional about putting good things into your brain, because that gets down into your heart. It develops the kind of person that you are and you want to be. Help us, you know, build some positivity, some love, and some grit during adversity, during these tough situations. But again, it takes work. Harder, you know, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. You're not going to give up when things get tough. I'm not coming down on anybody that's given up on other areas, because, hey, you know what? Let's start again. Start fresh. Start new. Don't make the same mistakes we made last time. All right. Going back to positivity real quick. It's easy to get sucked into listening to all the negative that's out there. And let's just be honest. A lot of media is negative. Not all media, but a lot of media is negative. Okay. So if you're putting negative in your ears 24 hours a day, and all we're hearing about are because what's highlighted, right? The negative things are highlighted. The number of positive cases, the deaths, the struggling situations in various countries, whatever. Okay. We don't hear near as much about the recoverers. We don't hear near as much about the percentages of people that aren't dying, those kinds of things. You have to be intentional about trying to feed some positive into your brain. Limit yourself. I mean, I rarely even look at the news anymore. Guess what? If it's big news, I'm going to find out one way or another. It's going to be on social media. Somebody's going to tell me, whatever. Okay. But if you are a news person, limit yourself to 30 minutes a day. Try to have an unbiased opinion. Go in and look at a few different news sources. Don't let it be all consuming if it's going to build fear into your heart and into your mind, into your life. So take that same imagination, the same effort, the same energy you're putting into that, and go and find some real positive things that are going to build you up, all right? So that when it comes down to it and things get tough, there's no quit in you. There's fight. There's inspiration that moves other people forward while it's moving you forward. All right, so let me move on to my next point. Number four, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. This is from Colossians 3:23, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. You know, hard work has good value, takes you a long way in life. But whenever you have a big purpose, whenever you have a greater purpose beyond yourself, there's probably nothing more powerful than that. That's why you can see a team. Say Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I'm a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan. Grew up in Oklahoma. We don't have an NFL team. A lot of us adopt the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, different teams, but a lot of us Dallas Cowboys. But I live in Kansas. My brother-in-law works for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you're a fan of offense, actually good offense and defense, but man, they are fun to watch, right? I love high-powered offenses. I love, you know, offenses that mix it up, that are a little bit sneaky and tricky. And, you know, you get Patrick Mahomes with that ball in his hand, and anything can happen. Okay. You take a team like that, and the key here is not Patrick Mahomes or any one individual. I say team. People literally step up their play. Think about working out. If you work out by yourself, maybe you could be motivated and get it on, all right? But if you just are at home versus like at the gym, it's probably harder to find the motivation to work hard, right? Whenever you're around other people, you just feel that energy and you go harder. Whenever I work out with my athletes, or like right now I work out with one of my assistant coaches, we're social distancing, right? We're further apart. We're outdoors when we're working out. But just having someone there with you allows you to drive. It allows you to go harder, become a better version of yourself. Now think about if you care about those people. Think about if you love those people. Think about if you spend time, effort, energy, maybe real blood and sweat with them, depending on your sport. You will go to battle for that person. So whenever you are competing for something greater than yourself, when you're working for something greater than yourself, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for man. for me as a Christian, for someone who loves God, who loves Jesus, I know who I represent. So those times when I start getting tired and I start getting emotionally worn down or physically worn down, I think about God. I think about Jesus. I think about what he did for me. I think about who I'm representing at this time. I think about the love that God gives me and the people that he's placed in my life. And so I'm going to go harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to, again, try to be the best version of myself. And not just for me. It's because of who I represent, because of who I glorify, who I want to shine a light on. And also the people that I want to impact in a positive way. We're going to have impact. It could be positive. It could be negative. I don't know. Maybe it's neutral. All right. I mean, there's some people that you're not impacting. Okay. But we are going to impact our sphere of influence. We're going to impact our circle, the people that are around us. Let's make sure that we're giving it all to impact them in a good way. Let's be a positive light for them. Working with all your heart for something greater than you is huge. And if you don't have that something, search for it, find it. It doesn't have to be something that's gigantic right now if you don't have anything. Find little things that motivate you. But I promise when there is something big, like God, and before I gave my life to Jesus, I tried to fill my life with all kinds of things that always left a void. Whether it was girls, partying, good times, sports, trying to be the best athlete in the world or the best wrestler, and always going for accomplishments, which many of them I hit. A lot of them I didn't, but many of them I hit, and it was never satisfying overall, okay, until I had a bigger picture, until I had something that really mattered and filled that void, and for me, that was Jesus. And then I wanted to be great at sports, not for me and for my glory. I want to be great at sports for him. Find something big like that, okay? And hopefully it's God. Hopefully it's Jesus. But, you know, again, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work out with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for man. We're not just working to please other people. Find something bigger and of greater value than that. Doesn't mean the people don't matter. I've had coaches I would run through a wall for. I loved them. I loved them then. I love them now. Teammates are the same way, and I wanted to make all of them proud. But ultimately, for me, it was about making God proud and giving my all because of that reason. Okay. And then the last one. So let me go back and review real quick before I hit number five. Number one, never get back time. Number two, you can't lie to the man in the mirror. Number three, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. Number four, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for man. And number five, okay, another scripture. All hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Whether you're a believer or not, man, that's ancient wisdom right there that's just valuable. And it's from Proverbs 14:23. It's powerful and something that we actually use with our team. I'm at a public school, so not like I'm just trying to pour Christianity into people. That is who I am and what I believe. But just taking the wisdom from this, no matter your beliefs, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Basically what that's saying, this is from the Bible, right? Be about it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Get out there and do it. Whenever we're working hard, that brings value to every area. It brings value to you, to your job, to other people. But mere talk leads to poverty. Whenever we're just talking and not getting into action, it doesn't move the needle forward. I love dreamers. I love people that have big visions. But if people are always just talking about something and not moving, now, we need these different personalities, right? And that's why it's great to have team and have other people around you that have different strengths than you so that you guys can balance each other out. You can move things forward in a positive way and bigger than you could ever do alone. So for me, I'm more, you know, some people are like ready, aim, fire, right? And that's how it should be. That's in order. So for me, sometimes I'm like ready, fire, aim. Like I just go for it. There's times I think things through. And if it's a big decision, I really believe in seeking wise counsel, going to people who I value their opinion, people that, you know, care about me, that will tell me the truth. Having a board of advisors, a personal board of advisors, those kinds of things. But sometimes people get stuck in like, you know, paralysis by analysis. They overthink everything. And they want to, basically what they want is control. They want to have control of every single thing before they ever go for something. And sometimes that's little things, just little decisions. Sometimes that's big things. But there's got to be some point in there that you just say, you know what, let's go. Let's just jump in and get after it and see what happens. We're not going to toe dip. We're going to go all in on this. Okay. Whenever you're working hard, that is going, and whenever you're going for it, that's actionable. That's going to bring us some sort of results. just talking about it and being stuck in one place doesn't bring any results. All right. So let's make sure that whatever we're doing, we realize it could have value. And if you're midstream on something and it's not working, stop, make a course correction, and then move forward in a better way. Again, go back and seek wisdom. Find people, and maybe this is getting a little off topic here, but I think it's so valuable, I'm gonna include it. Find people who do what you wanna do, who do it really well, who've been there and have done that, and learn from them. Seek them out. Get them on the phone, get them on FaceTime, get them on a Zoom. Connect with them if you can. Read their books. Maybe you can't connect with them. Maybe this person's big time, right? And you don't have a way to connect with them. It's amazing, though, how many people, if you just really reach out, will help you out. They'll spend a little time helping you, giving you some advice, telling you what resources that you can chase after that are valuable. Again, because these people have been there, they've done that. Find mentors that are really, truly going to help you in life. Okay. That's how we make those course corrections. I guess there are times that people invent the wheel. There are big moments, these aha moments that happen and things that we never saw and somebody figured out. But a lot of things, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. A lot of things, we can go to somebody, we can use our own personality, we can do it in a new way. And then you can do that and spawn a big business. And it looks like it's something brand new, but there was someone probably doing it in some way, shape, or form before you, or at least pieces of what you end up putting together, okay? But find people who are doing work, find people who are really good at what they do, and then seek them out. As a coach, I'm constantly doing leadership training. I'm constantly trying to learn from other coaches. If somebody's a high-level coach and they're doing it big, I'm going to study what they're doing. Doesn't mean I revamp my entire program, but I'm going to take the pieces. I'm going to take bits and pieces that, you know, align with my morals and values and what we're doing as a team and try to implement those. Don't want to get, you know, do not want to get locked into any sort of stagnation or going even in, you know, even in reverse. Finding people, like if you, you know, you own a business, you're a small business owner. What other small business owners are just kicking butt? They're just doing it right, you know, and they're succeeding. Go and ask them for help. Find somebody that's been married for 40 years and ask them, what's your secret? What's your key? One of my college coaches, Coach Thompson, I don't remember what their anniversary number was last year, but they've been married a long time, him and his wife, Joanne. And so I text Coach T and told him happy anniversary. And I said, hey, you know, if you can give me 1, 2, 3 pieces of advice of how to make this marriage thing work. You know, my wife and I, we've been married 17, coming up on 18 years. But, you know, if you can give me a couple pieces of advice, how to make this marriage thing work, do it at a high level, do it for the long term. You know, Coach Thompson is like such a wise man too. And it was hilarious because he wrote me back and this was his one piece of advice. Find the right woman. I was like, well, I guess you're right. That makes a lot of sense and goes a long way. So find the right spouse out there. Now, Coach T is also really funny. So he was half joking, half not joking. Find the right woman. But I know there's also a lot of things that they've done over the years. But find someone like that and let them mentor you. Again, those people have put in some hard work and that brings profit. They weren't just talking about it. They were like really living it out. All right, so I'm gonna get ready to close this message up today. The man in the mirror, whenever you look at yourself in the mirror, are you happy with where you're at right now? If not, let's make some course corrections. If you are, don't get satisfied. Like Coach Atterbury used to tell me, don't get satisfied. Find a way to continue to move forward and to improve. And sometimes in life, we can get like, well, right now we're in Groundhog Day a little bit, right? We can get stuck on the hamster wheel though, even when things are in quotations here. Normal. You can always find a challenge. You can always find things to move you forward. And a lot of times whenever we're worried and stressed about things, we're just using our imagination in the wrong direction. Take the same mental energy and the same mental calories you're burning to think about those negatives and to find a positive challenge. All right. So a couple questions. In what areas of your life do you work extra hard and why? It's great to look at our successes. Whenever I'm working with athletes, I want them to make highlight videos. I want them to think about their successes. Don't just think about your opponent you have coming up. Don't think about the negatives because those things tend to stick out in our head. Somebody, you know, 100 people can tell you something good. One person can say something negative and what sticks out in your head? It's the negative, right? Okay. So be intentional about focusing on the good things. So write it down. What areas of your life or of your life are you working extra hard and why? What's the purpose? What's your why behind that? Write those things down. That's your personal highlight reel. That should build confidence. That should make you proud. Next question, though, is this. What areas of your life do you need to step it up and work harder? And again, why? If you don't know the why, it's hard to put in the extra work. Whenever you know the why exactly you're doing this, who you're doing it for, those type of things, it's not as hard to put in the work. Whenever you start to fade mentally and lose focus or you get tired, you can think about those things. You can step your game back up a little bit, you know? And then who are you really working for? Is it yourself? Is it other people? Is it God? Is it all the above? You know, if we were to write down our values, most people would say, you know, God or faith in there, family, friends, job, and then maybe you're an athlete, so then it's your sport. Those are like ideal values. But then maybe you made you drew a line down a piece of paper and you wrote, here are my ideal values on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, you wrote down what your values are actually current, according to how you're actually living. And then you got to go back and say, okay, these aren't lining up. So I got to figure out what do I need to do to make these line up? Think about who you're working for. You know, like I said earlier, I'm trying to, not always real great at it, but trying to make sure that all my work goes to shine a light on God because I believe in Jesus, because I love Jesus, because I love God. I want to make sure that my work is for Him. Okay. And then next it's my family. And then it's my friends. So other people do matter, and they matter a lot, all right? But ultimately, and yourself, don't neglect yourself, because when you're the best version of yourself, that's better for everybody else as well, okay? So but make sure you know who it is that you're working for. And then a couple of key scriptures that I went over there, maybe you want to look these up, maybe you want to write these down, but Proverbs 14:23 and Colossians 3:23. Those kind of, they guide my life when it comes to work ethic. They guide my life in the who and the why, I guess, of why I'm doing these things. Okay. So man in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror, think about where you're at currently, and then continue to intentionally move forward. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. This is my perspective, right? And hopefully there's some nuggets of wisdom in here. And these aren't all just thoughts I came to or that I come to in my own mind. I am a little OCD, so maybe I think on some things fairly deeply sometimes. But I can tell you this. I've had incredible mentors in my life. And I'm also a noticer. If you've ever read Andy Andrews' book, Noticer, I really try to notice what people, high performers, are doing. The little things, the big things that they're doing. And then incorporate those into my life. Really figuring out what makes successful people successful. What makes something I'm interested tick or run? But these thoughts, they did not all just originate in my mind. These thoughts come from years of having great coaches, of having great mentors, of studying the best business leaders, things I'm going to continue to do. So hopefully you find some value in these things. And if you do, what I ask is this. Hey, send me a message. You can email me, coachchadparks@gmail.com. Hit me up on Instagram @CoachChadParks. Those are great places to do it. It's just Chad Parks on Facebook. I'd love to hear back. I'd love to give feedback, you know, or to hear some feedback and some of your ideas, some of the things that make you successful, some of the things that you've discovered over the years. Okay. Also, share this episode with somebody else. If it fired you up, if it spoke to your heart, throw it on your social media. I would be grateful, because when I'm doing these, I want to get the word out as much as possible, because I want to shine a light into as many people's lives as possible. So the last thing is, if you're, I don't know where you're listening to this. Maybe it's Libsyn, maybe it's Spotify, maybe it's a podcast that comes from Apple iTunes. All right. If you can, or if you like what you're hearing, give us a review. Apple iTunes, you can give a 5-star review, and then write a review. You know, from time to time, I'm going to read some of those. And I truly value, well, I read every one of them. Time to time, I'm going to read some of those on here. But I truly, truly value those. As I look in, first off, I value people taking their time to write them. Second, I value the words. So as I'm saying that, I guess I'm going to go ahead and read a couple right now. Some of these people I know, and former athletes, friends, whatever, and I read it, and I'm like, man, just touches my heart. And then some of these people I don't know, and that touches my heart as well. And whenever you're putting work into something, it's awesome to see results. And one of the ways I get to see results of podcasts is through people sharing, people writing reviews, and then the number of people that get a hold of me and send me messages, which is super uplifting. And I want everybody right now, be an encourager and then allow yourself to be encouraged. Let's play both roles. All right. So, all right, here's one from Mike D. My friend Mike D. Tomaso. Mike D. says, Coach P is a class act. Coach hits on relevant points for real life situations on and off the mat. Coach is making a difference in our family's life, and we are so excited to hear these. Keep them coming. You know, Mike has a son that's an incredible wrestler. I do some mindset training with him, Dom, and just good people. Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that, man, big time. So more than you know. All right, another one. This is from Joel T. This is one of my best friends, Joel Thompson. So I'm going to get a couple of people that I know today on here. Joel is a dude that inspires me all the time, and we're literally, we're not blood, but we're like blood. Genuine, passionate, insightful, motivating, spiritual. These topics, conversations, philosophies, ideas, etc., delivered by Coach Chad Parks, are all of the above and more. This man has a heart for the Lord and fire in him to share it. The lessons, concepts, and stories he provides are ultra motivating, inspiring, and applicable across a wide array of ages, professions, and areas of life. I know so many of us are always searching for ways to be better, challenged, and lifted up in our day-to-day. Well, Coach P has got you right here with simple, effective, and powerful tool in his podcast, Coach P's Perspective. Tune in. You'll be blessed by doing so. 100. All right, Joel. Love you, bro. And thanks for that, man. I appreciate it. So this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective, Man in the Mirror. Again, share it. Thank you guys for taking your time to jump on and listen. Love y'all. Peace out. Until next time.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.